Welcome to your Sunday Reader. Today we will be discussing the readings for the 19th Sunday in Ordinary Time, 2007. A reading from the Book of Wisdom. The night of the Passover was known beforehand to our fathers, that, with sure knowledge of the oaths in which they put their faith, they might have courage. Your people awaited the salvation of the just and the destruction of their foes. For when you punished our adversaries, in this you glorified us whom you had summoned. For in secret the holy children of the good were offering sacrifice and putting into effect with one accord the divine institution. The Word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Blessed the people the Lord has chosen to be his own.
Blessed the people the Lord has chosen to be his own.
Exalt you just in the Lord. Praise from the upright is fitting. Blessed the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen for his own inheritance.
Blessed the people the Lord has chosen to be his own.
See, the eyes of the Lord are upon those who fear him, upon those who hope for his kindness, to deliver them from death and preserve them in spite of famine.
Blessed the people the Lord has chosen to be his own.
Our soul waits for the Lord, who is our help and our shield. May your kindness, O Lord, be upon us, who have put our hope in you.
Blessed the people the Lord has chosen to be his own.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, faith is the realization of what is hoped for, and evidence of things not seen. Because of it, the ancients were well attested. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was to go. By faith he sojourned into the promised land as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and maker is God. By faith he received power to generate, even though he was past the normal age, and Sarah herself was sterile. For he thought that the one who had made the promise was trustworthy. So it was that there came forth from one man, himself as good as dead, descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and as countless as the sands on the seashore. All these died in faith. They did not receive what had been promised, but saw it and greeted it from afar, and acknowledged themselves to be strangers and aliens on earth. For those who speak thus show they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land from which they had come, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better homeland, a heavenly one. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith Abraham went, put to the test, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was ready to offer his only son, of whom it was said, "Through Isaac descendants shall bear your name." He reasoned that God was able to raise even from the dead, and he received Isaac back as a symbol. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not be afraid any longer, little flock, for your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your belongings and give alms. Provide money bags for yourselves that do not wear out, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven that no thief can reach nor moth destroy. For where your treasure is, there also your heart will be. Gird your loins and light your lamps, and be like servants who await their master's return from a wedding, ready to open immediately when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master finds vigilant on his arrival. Amen, I say to you, he will gird himself, have them recline at the table, and proceed to wait on them. And should he come in the second or third watch and find them prepared in this way, blessed are those servants. Be sure of this, if the master of the house had known the hour when the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be prepared, for an hour that you do not expect that the Son of Man will come." Then Peter said, "Lord, is this parable meant for us or for everyone?" And the Lord replied, "Who then is the faithful and prudent steward whom the master will put in charge of his servants to distribute the food allowance at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master on arrival finds doing so. Truly, I say to you, the master will put the servant in charge of all his property. But if that servant says to him, My master is delayed in coming, and begins to beat the manservants and the maidservants to eat and drink and get drunk. Then that servant's master will come on an unexpected day, and at that unknown hour, and will punish the servant severely, and assign him a place with the unfaithful. That servant who knew his master's will, did not make preparations, nor act in accord with his will, shall be beaten severely. And the servant who is ignorant of his master's will, but acted in a way deserving of a severe beating, shall be beaten only lightly. Much will be required of the person entrusted with much, and still more will be demanded of the person entrusted with more. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So we welcome you to another week of your Sunday Reader. Today this is an all-female version because Father Mark and Brian are still on vacation. You know, I should deserve this amount of vacation, I think. But today, actually, not only is this the all-female version, but this is the Dawn family version. We're gathered in my aunt and uncle's house, and I have two cousins and two aunts. And today we're just going to reflect on the readings. We won't go quite as long in our discussion because our reading length was sort of extended today. And so, all of you, what one thought or word or phrase stuck out to you in all of today's readings?
The word that stuck out for me was the word faith. I've seen that pop up a bit.
Especially
in the second reading.
Yes, about we had Abraham.
Mm-hmm, and his faith, and then the generations, and then it sort of talked in the psalm, even though it didn't really say faith, it said, that the people, God has chosen, they're sort of got to be faithful to him, and they have faith that he'll fulfill their promises.
Nice, very good.
I like how it says that the Lord has chosen them. We don't decide. It's already planned ahead of us. I don't know, I thought that was interesting.
The Lord has chosen them. So from the psalm response, the blessed the people the Lord has chosen to be his own.
Yes.
Very nice. How about you ladies in the back row?
The faith. Yeah, faith is the word that keeps popping up. I don't know, it seems like we're not supposed to necessarily have faith in things are going to be the way we want them or the way, I told God how he should do it, but faith that he's in charge.
Patricia?
I think it's one of my favorite verses is faith is the realization of what is hoped for and evidence of things not seen. And the ancients were all well attested or commended for that. And I think of how it says in that passage, none of them actually saw the promises come to fruition, and that gives me hope for things I'm praying about and things I can't always see in the physical realm, but God is still working in the unseen.
The one word that stuck out for me, which is sort of not related to any of the readings, but Jesus said to his disciples, "Don't be afraid, little flock." He calls his followers the little flock. And that just had a nice image for me of, here they are trying to go from place to place, and he's concerned about them. Mm-hmm. So I really liked that. So any other thoughts before I start asking questions?
No.
All right. Well then, when I walked in today, you guys were playing the game of life. And I thought that was a little funny because, the gospel starts off with where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. So what did you think of when you're playing the game of life in light of these readings?
It's not realistic.
The game isn't?
Not quite, no. I mean, you get so much money just by landing on one spot. It's not really how life goes.
Well, especially since Daniel, who's in fifth grade, he won. A little disappointing
with
there.
With $3 million.
Yeah, well, it seemed, it's just a board game, but it was, kind of funny. You're like, oh, it's like building up your treasures in heaven. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Well, it's more like building up the most money you can actually get. So it's not like a very spiritual game, clearly, but it's still fun.
So do you think some people go by the game of life? That's what they try to do, is build up their treasures here on Earth?
Mm-hmm.
So what are your earthly treasures?
Family.
Music.
Nice, I like music.
Movies. Movies.
Yeah. And, well, like, yeah, family, people I love, friends, family.
Popcorn.
Oh, yes, food is a big one.
One thing I really like are photographs, because I keep their memories and things like that. And, like, I keep tons of junk because they have special memories. Mm-hmm. And so when you read this verse, you start to think about, you know, how devastated would you be if they were ruined by moths, in this case, or thieves, or fires, or earthquakes, or... So how would you respond if all these treasures that you had, the physical treasures we're talking about right now, mm-hmm. how would you reply to that if all of a sudden you lost them?
More the material things, not quite so devastating as if my family had died.
I would feel unsettled, though, because I wouldn't have... I know God is my anchor, but I'm a human, and so I need physical things and to touch. And so if, like, our house burned down, I would be very disoriented, and it would take a while to recover from that loss. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also because, like photographs, there's a lot of memories in there.
Right, yeah.
Actually, in my health class this past year, we did this activity where we were each given index cards, and you had, like, 4 index cards for, like, your favorite possessions, and 4 for, like, the most important people in your life, and 4 that, like, you know, identified who you are or something like that. Anyways, then after a while, the health teacher comes around and arbitrarily swipes some of the cards off your desk. Yeah. And it was this huge deal, because looking at the cards before she took them away, it was kind of like you realize, wow, that's really who I am, because, like, you know, the things that you care most about, your favorite things to do, and, like, all these things, it really, like, identified you. And so to see it all swept away, it was like, whoa, because it was really interesting, because I was left with, I think, the index card that said Christian on it, and it was like, wow, okay, so I'm still a Christian, that's good to know, but I sort of lost everything else, and it was really like, and it was like, okay, so I'll be, you know, it was nice to know, obviously it was just index cards, but it was cool, because you always do have that solid rock, but we identify ourselves by the things that we have in our world, because we see each other and we, you know, can feel each other and hear each other, and that's a huge deal.
That's why that passage is so important. Mm-hmm. Faith is not based on the things we see. It's based on what we don't see. So it's so counter-cultural, counter-human sometimes, you know. But that's very good point you brought up, that.
And yet what's really bizarre is that the physical things, the reason we like them is because how they make us feel. And we can't even see those feelings.
That is sort of bizarre. I never thought about that.
When, at one point, our family had a piano, and I was away at college, and they had to sell the piano. And when I came home, I looked in the corner. It looked like there was, you know, there was a dead body taken away. I felt like somebody died because that was gone. But what was gone was those feelings of being able to play and, you know, all those things music does.
So what are your heavenly treasures? If it talks about heavenly treasures, what would those be?
The people we plan to bring to heaven by helping them along on earth. Mm-hmm. Just hoping to see them up there. Or wherever that is. We're assuming up, not down.
You know, this weekend at St. Mary's, we had a funeral for somebody who has given much of his treasure to the church. And so I was talking to somebody, maybe to you, Patricia, about how he was a really quiet man, and he didn't know many people, and people didn't know who he was. And so the thought came to me, when he gets to heaven, or when we all get to heaven, he's going to recognize all these people that he helped. And, you know, I mean, it could be thousands, and, you know, the whole pond effect that it ripples out. And that was a really neat thought for me, that by not focusing on hoarding your treasure, but by sharing it with those in need, how far reaching your effects go, and when we get to heaven,
how much more blessed you will be.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's another word that jumped out today, was blessed are you. You know, blessed are the people the Lord has chosen to be his own. And what he values that he blesses us with is very opposite of what we think is a blessing, you know, sometimes.
One little point I'd like to make, in the gospel reading, it talks about gird your loins and light your lamps. And at that time that Jesus is talking, men normally wore this loose-fitting garment, like if you see pictures of Jesus hugging kids, he's got this long, flowing garment. But when they gird their loins, what would happen is they take their loose garment and sort of put a belt around it so that they'd free up their legs so that they could walk faster or do work more easily. And it sort of implies that the disciples are to be ever ready to be with their Lord and to serve them in whatever he needs. So that's sort of interesting.
Yeah. Ever ready batteries. Get your lights on.
And so how we're always supposed to be ready. And then it talks about the second or third watch. And that's sometime between 9 o'clock at night and 3 in the morning, so time when you'd really be sleepy usually. So that we need to be awake and alert and ready to move at any point in time. So
I'm ready now.
So we're not supposed to say, well, I'm just going to do this now and then, you know, tomorrow I'll figure it out. It'll be over, but it's just now, you know, so that I suppose that's the...
Yeah. Well, you know, it was interesting to me when I started thinking about it, because right after that passage, Peter says, you know, who is this meant for? Is this meant for us? Just a few chapters later, because they're on their way to Jerusalem, just a few chapters later, Peter's fallen asleep in the garden. So here it's just...
ironic.
It's sort of ironic.
They could not keep watch.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So thankfully we have a forgiving God. And I think that brings us to the close of another week's podcast.
Aww.
This is the conclusion of the all-female podcast, as you can tell. So we thank you for joining us and ask that you would be with us next week. And we hope that you have a great week, and God bless.